Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Also, happy Pride Month if you're listening to this in June. If not, better luck next year.
Yeah.
Better luck next year.
Sick Boys here. Sick Boys podcast. The podcast where three sick boys sit around and talk about video games. This would mark the second time that I have been sick on the podcast, and the first time all three of us have been sick.
Yeah.
For real, not just hungover, because we are frequently hungover on
this
the podcast.
This is what we get for making out after every cast.
Yeah. I live my life sick as fuck, man. Don't
worry.
Oh, that's sick with two C's, baby.
Yeah. Sick boy. So how you doing?
A little sick, like you said, but ready to have some fun. It's a nice sunny Sunday, and ready to talk about some lore.
What? I told you guys, I spoiled it. I spoiled it for you guys already. What are we talking about right now?
Fallout.
The
Fallout of being sick.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants in Fallout.
More like the Brotherhood of the Traveling Dance. Paladin Dance is from Fallout 4.
The Brotherhood of the Traveling Power Armor.
Yeah, I wrote that joke, the Brotherhood of the Traveling Dance, 4 days ago when I was doing this research.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, man,
I love that you and Jamie both got there.
That's so funny. Yeah, I know. I've not seen that movie. Yeah. I've seen it physically, like the VHS, but not whatever's on it.
It keeps showing up in my apartment. I keep throwing it out, and I wake up the next day, and it's on my coffee.
It's like the cat.
Again.
It's like the cat came back.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know.
I started going crazy, like just like a basket on my front porch. I don't even have a front porch. I live in an apartment. There's just like a little basket with a cassette tape of Sister of the Traveling Pants, and I'm just like, go away.
Go away. You're just screaming at it every morning. Guys, I put it into my VCR, and a pair of pants crawled out of my television set.
They're all wet. It's like the Ring. Excuse me.
Excuse you. What, are you sick or something?
Yeah, Sick Boys Podcast. It's actually called The Lore Boys. It's a video game podcast about game lore.
Yeah, that's sometimes us. Don't fuck with our brand, Peter.
Sorry. Yeah, we're not about... This isn't about germs. It's about video games.
Yeah.
We're actually talking about, I mean, you probably figured it out at this point, the Brotherhood O'Steel, which is my Irish uncle, Brotherhood O'Steel.
Just from the Fallout series.
Which is from the Fallout series.
Hey.
Now, I was originally going to do a few things. This is a third rewrite. There's a lot of ground to cover. So.
How much ground is there, Peter?
If you'll humor me.
As much as that pause?
We can get into
full
it.
Full fathoms?
That.
It was a dramatic pause.
That was a dramatic pause for
I was on the edge of my seat. Yeah.
Dramatic pause for editing purposes.
I can't believe I paid a ticket for this whole seat. I only needed the edge of it. Yeah.
It's like if you buy a D-Box thing where it's and you don't actually like accelerate. It's like, what's wrong, baby girl?
Yeah.
You don't wanna go fast? Is there a problem? Why don't you crank that shit up from normal ticket to bitch?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about here. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but...
D-Box is the premium seats at the movie theater.
Yeah.
The Cineplex movie theaters.
Yeah, or if you spend like something exorbitant, like $35 to have a chair that vibrates with the movie.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's like they took the technology...
You have to watch the movie?
Sadly.
Okay. Yeah.
They take the technology from your controller and then they put it in your butt.
You mentioned on the Bad News Podcast, James probably hasn't been to a theater in like years, and... You're not 100% wrong.
Yeah. When's the last time you went to the movie theater?
I can't remember, to be honest. Like, I think I went to go... Ooh, no. I think I was in my last relationship, which was like 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I go
fairly often.
There you go.
That's our shout-out. There's the Bad Dudes Podcast. Yeah. Fine. We mentioned it. Are you fucking happy?
Yeah. Jesus. Quota. Jeremy, we want our check in the mail, goddammit.
Yeah, exactly. You send us your fucking one American dollar, and then we'll cash it in and buy a house in Canada.
Yeah. Also, I hope I can say retroactively that Andrew was on the last episode of Bad News Podcast.
I know. I hope so. I hope he's better. We're sick now. Anyway, Brotherhood of Steel.
I mean, just say it. We're sick, but we still show up.
Yeah, exactly. I guess you're just not that committed.
I love how pretty much Jeremy listens to this and Andrew doesn't, so Jeremy can just laugh at Andrew. Yeah, there we go.
The, that.
The Steel Bros.
Yeah, Steel Bros.
Steel Bros.
Super Steel Bros.
It is a techno-religious paramilitary organization with characteristics of a military order founded by deserters from the United States Army Security Detail at the Mariposa Military Base and their families.
Oh, cool. Mariposa Military.
This is going to be the...
I didn't realize they were all deserters.
Well, sort of. We'll get into what happened.
Well, they found
it, obviously. Yeah, we'll get into what happened, obviously. This is the dry, direct copy-paste from the wiki page.
Oh, you didn't write that?
Just, exactly. I can't spell deserters. Or United States Army, for that matter.
It's weird because it's spelled deserters.
It is,
Wait a second.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever said.
It's deserters. I'm going to start saying that deserters.
Deserters.
Yeah. Look, I just say it how it looks.
The deserters are the fat guys who never leave the fucking buffet, man. Like, you need the deserters.
Deserters are the guys who get there, who pick their table at the buffet as close as possible to the buffet.
Yeah, so they can just reach over. Or they just bring a long enough spoon to get like the greasy chicken wads out and like slap them onto their table.
They tape 12 spoons together at the buffet.
If I learned anything about elementary school engineering is that once you get like there's a three straw threshold where you can no longer drink your chocolate milk.
Suction just doesn't exist.
No, it's
Being like seven and having a bunk bed and putting like 14 straws together, chocolate milk on the ground, and like drinking from the top, nothing happened.
You get some mist. Did you get anything?
It was like there's a lot of like leakage, so there's pretty much just breathing air, but.
The integrity of the steel is like weakened a bit with each straw you add.
Yeah, yeah.
Where n is the length of one straw.
Yeah.
12n minus 3n squared.
Yeah.
If you had some scotch tape, you could have sealed that up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I should have asked the deserters. They would have known.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of them, they're dedicated to controlling all the technology in the wasteland. They're just like, no. They're very condescending to everybody else. You don't know how to use this laser gun. Sure, it's shaped like a normal gun, and there's a trigger and a magazine on it. But trust, fam, it's way too complicated for your tiny ape brain.
This toaster oven is way beyond your comprehension.
Exactly,
foolish human.
It's like at best, you guys could manage what fire. I don't think so.
Just remembered why I didn't side with them. I really don't like their attitude.
Is it because they're techno fascists?
Yeah.
Yay.
I killed one of their leaders in Fallout 4 because he had really nice. I liked his haircut and his jacket.
Did you take his haircut?
No, he couldn't, but
can you
I wanted his jacket.
Yeah. Was it Arthur Maxon, the guy in the blimp?
Yes.
Yeah.
He has a nice like collar and like this fuzzy jacket, but we'll get to him later, I'm sure.
Well, spoilers on Jamie's playthrough of Fallout 4.
Yeah. If you're not following us at twitch.tv/theloreboys.
Especially that game that he's never streamed.
I mean, that never happened on stream, but I just figured it was a good time to plug the rest of our shit.
Yeah.
Could stream it. Probably wouldn't be that interesting.
Yeah.
So let's move
on. Stream it, but I won't. So. Yeah. Don't gaslight me like that, you fucker. they've been an influential group in the history of the Wasteland, first as a survivalist group before they kind of got their bearings, then a major research and development house, and then finally as the enemy of the New California Republic. They were fighting a bitter war for control of technology in New California, and then they were defeated in the West, then the Brotherhood would be reborn in the eastern reaches of the continent under Elders Owen Lyons and Arthur Maxon.
Oh, Elder Maxon. That's how I didn't remember Arthur because most people called him Elder Maxon.
Right? Yeah, it's Arthur Maxon is the is the sexy Eldorado Maxon. was the sexy airship captain in Fallout 4. God, he's so hot.
That dashing young lad with that sexy jacket.
No, the Macklemore haircut, but a little longer on the top.
Oh, hell yeah!
Yeah, and then the sexy jacket. He's all like beefy, like he's got. Barrel chested,
but shit, it was 99 caps.
Yeah, don't need 12 straws to take a tall drink of that bad boy.
No, yeah, that drink of water is tall enough that I don't need a straw for that. Dude, that's a good one, Ethan. I like that. I want that on a t-shirt. Yeah, put that on a piece of corn.
Yeah,
or call the bringing that back.
Are we
Lore Boys merch? Corn? I probably retro merch.
We'll go to the Lore Boys roadside corn stand.
Look, if Nintendo can sell us Mega Man 2. whatever, 5,000-6,000 times, I can sell you a t-shirt with a piece of corn on it.
Yeah.
One day.
One day.
When we have...
One day we'll get you.
Yeah, when we've been doing this for 30 years, then that'll be our time.
Yep. We'll disguise it as something else.
So, there's going to be a little bit of crossover, a little bit of mix and match. I would very... This is one of the times where I'm not just going to refer to a previous episode. I would suggest our last episode hosted by the lovely... I didn't introduce you people, actually.
You didn't. Oh, I wasn't worried about it. What the fuck?
Hosted by the lovely James Miller, standing next to the lovely Vanna White. He did an episode about Fallout leading up to the Great War.
Oh, yeah.
The Something Fallout... So these two episodes go to weather.
We dedicate these episodes to weather. Yeah. You're beautiful and sunny.
Thanks, big guy.
You're a ray of light on a cloudy day.
It's a wonderful... Anyway, James Miller, over here, right here. He hosted an episode about Fallout. These two go together like peaches and cream.
If you haven't listened to that one, honestly, listen to it. Like, it's one of my favorite episodes to research, to record. Like, if I had to advertise the Lore Boys, I would use that episode at this moment. So check it out. It's really good. Leaves on a good cliffhanger. Great.
I would use two sexy ladies in bikinis to advertise the Lore Boys.
Nice.
Hey. Yeah.
Named Ethan and James.
People love ladies named Ethan and James.
Yeah. Who are you? You want to introduce? I'm Peter O'Donohue. I forgot. I'm sorry. This is what you get when we're all sick.
I'm Ethan and I'm falling down a well.
Oh. Well, there he goes.
Yeah. Mm. What's the lore though?
Bad pun. But yeah, these two episodes go together very well. I would recommend listening to them in quick succession. I think you should ignore your family for at least 3 hours.
Yeah,
and listen to the sound of our voices.
Yeah,
which is objectively more important than
try and book it at like you have family that you don't like so much. And you have a family function to go to for the July barbecue. Just plug us in your ears,
like a son who's a bit taller than you.
Just agree with us. Just agree with us whenever we say something, and it'll probably line up with your annoying Uncle Betsy.
Uncle Betsy is the worst.
When she's telling you about her two Shih Tzus, they're up to.
Exactly, and we're having a shared experience over here. We're just like warming up some steamed sausage too, and like that's what you're doing over there.
Worst uncle, worst dogs. Anyway,
that's what we call this heat wave: warming up some steam sausage.
Anyway, so this was kind of in the midpoint of the last episode where Jambo was talking about the Great War. In 2076, the Biological Research Division of the company called West Tech. You look like you got something to say?
No, I don't.
Just doing weird shit with your hands?
Yeah.
No, he's just beating himself.
He's just holding on.
I am.
Buddy drank a whole pot of coffee while he's coming off a four-day headache.
Jesus Christ,
he's
just
relaxing.
Get ready, boys. We're getting to the Biological Research Division. He's like, whoa. Like he's like the Max L guy getting blown away by a cassette in his couch. So that's an 80s reference, I guess, for some reason. I've never been to the 80s. In 2076, the Biological Research Division of the company called West Tech, boys.
Oh, it's not West Tech?
The same that creates... It's West, as in West Coast.
Okay.
West
I thought Coast it was like
the West
Anderson's
Coast.
Technologies.
No, it's like Western Technology.
Okay.
But it's TEK, because they're cool like that.
Yeah.
Because
it's
one of those fucking Silicon Valley cool companies where the guy wears a t-shirt under a sports jacket, but he also has a tie loosely tied around his neck.
Yeah.
You know?
It's weird. It always and throws jeans. Me, because it's West Tech. TEK and Vault Tech from our last episode that we talked about is TEC.
Oh,
neither of them spell it right, and both of them spell it different.
Branding.
Look at Grindr, Tinder, Uber. Well, Uber's right, but
Uber's just not in English.
See, Grindr and Tinder. No, Tinder uses DER. I don't know.
Tinder does use DER.
I've been out of the dating game. But they spell it right.
Oh,
I don't get your analogies.
Well, a lot of these tech companies today are like putting little short things. If you look at new emerging tech companies, so many of them drop the E on an ER ending. Like Grindr,
like rappers with that word we can't say.
The one I have the most experience with is Grindr.
obviously.
Yeah.
Anyway, West Tech, they were notable. This is kind of where I made the decision to rewrite this script, was West Tech created Power Armor.
Cool.
Which was first implemented when?
It's the Alaskan... what was it called? It was the Resource Wars, like, in Alaska when China was invading?
Yeah, buddy, during the Sino-American War, as they call it. They were also working on the Pan-Immunity Virion, or PIV. The PIV was supposed to cure what was known as the New Plague, which was an American biological weapon that was accidentally released when the Chinese tried to steal it, and some clumsy guards broke the containers when shooting the Chinese.
Insert more cartoon sound effects.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
Cut this in, exactly. Yeah. We took down them Chinese guys, but all they's had was a bunch of broken glass in their pockets. Like, you idiot! The virus was in that glass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, whoopsie daisy. This would lead to around 20,000 deaths after the release of the new plague in Colorado.
Wow. Now, because of PIV? Or no, PIV was...
PIV was the cure.
PIV was supposed to be the cure for the new plague. This would then lead to the development of the FEV, which is the forced evolutionary virus, which is the chemical goo that is used to create super mutants on the West Coast.
Oh, cool. That's cool. Yes. FEV makes super
mutants.
Cool. Yes. So the PIV was, like, they were already a company and they were making other things and they made this in response, or this was, like, their first product?
They made the PIV in response to the new plague.
Okay.
And then they were just like, well, if we can just evolve people, they'll just be immune to this, so we should do that. And that's where we get the FEV, which is the forced evolutionary virus.
Okay, which after the bombs fell creates super mutants, or...
That's what we're going to get into that. Okay. We are going to get into the FEV a little bit, because the Brotherhood does kind of run afoul of some flesh-eating monsters hither and thither across their history.
Makes sense.
Due to their progress, the United States Defense Department, in fear of internal espionage, obviously, because they'd already had some fucking chemicals stolen and then destroyed, moved a military team under the command of Colonel Robert Spindle and Captain Roger Maxon, which is an important name that we've heard already.
The father of
onto the site to oversee the project, now dubbed the FEV Project. And then on January 7th, 2077, all FEV research was moved to the newly constructed Mariposa military base in California to commence testing of the virus on human subjects.
Okay, cool.
The security team was transferred to the newly constructed base as well to provide protection for the research going on within the city. However, they were not informed of the nature of the research. So when they asked what all the screaming was from behind the room without windows, they were just like, it's birds. We had this big room full of birds in
there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's just voids.
It's just a bunch of birds.
Oh my god.
I think you should probably ignore all the screaming and cries for help.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what we have is actually parrots.
Yeah.
What's in that room.
Hey, what's behind that door? Murder. What? Murder. Yeah. Murder of crows.
Yeah.
murder crows. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. You know, Murder Crows, the band. That's Flock of Seagulls, actually. Fuck.
Is it? I was like, yeah.
There's almost definitely a band called Murder of Crows.
You know what, Murder of Crows, if you're out there, tweet at us. We'll set your single to our intro music.
I'm going to start a band called Murder of Seagulls. That's way cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, you want to be like a gang of murderous, like, flying rats?
Chia.
Chia. Sea rats, thank you very much.
Sadly, the bird thing that I just made up, Loreboy's canon, though, did not last. They were just like, there's only so many times you can convince someone that, oh God, help me, why are you doing this? Oh God, is not, in fact, a bird.
How many times is that?
I don't know, from January to October, so you can do it for 10 months, apparently. Yeah. These not the Brotherhood didn't start off, they're not none too swift.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, my sinuses are all clogged up, and I'm a little foggy. What are we hiding as birds right now? I'm kind of lost.
The FEV.
The FEV,
which is
the forced evolutionary virus, which creates super mutants.
Yeah. They were experimenting with it.
Okay, on people.
And creating horribly deformed lepers, basically.
Oh, okay.
And just, like, sweeping it under the carpet.
Yeah.
Not NSA here.
They didn't tell the security.
Okay.
This charade, as they say, went on for 10 months until October 10th. So we are in, I know normally we don't cover dates anymore exactly, but in the events leading up to the Great War.
Yeah, it's not a rule.
I
find like...
I've gone rogue, guys!
Yeah, I know our podcast is all about rules and structure. But.
No, yeah. I find like in like deep space ones, I'm not super willing to talk about like, hey, in 2081, and then also in 2082. Like, if it has relevance, then cool, but like, this is relevant.
Yeah,
it's
I like
history.
Saw on Earth.
I like dates. Great source of fiber.
I tried to keep a straight face at you for a second. I just couldn't. The situation unraveled shortly before October 10th, 2077. Through unknown means, possibly the screaming, the soldiers stationed at New Mariposa discovered the fact that the scientists under their care were performing experiments with the FEV on military prisoners.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Of all people to be experimenting on.
I know. So, this would constitute, because, of course, the annexation of Canada, this would be Canadian dissidents. We know that Canadians can be very annoying when they feel all high and mighty and better than Americans.
They are super prone to hyper-evolution.
Oh yeah, dude! Canadians turn into the fastest super mutants.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not in my notes.
My buddy got bit by a beaver, dude. Grew buck teeth like in a week.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And then we have this thing here called beaver fever, which is actually just violent diarrhea.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Here in Kujawak.
Yep.
Our second episode in Kujawak.
Is it? Are we back?
Yeah, we're back here in Kujawak.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I never would have come here if we weren't shooting on location.
That's true, yeah. This revelation prompted the nervous breakdown of Colonel Spindle, who locked himself in his office, and then Captain Maxson was the only officer left to handle the deteriorating situation.
So he takes
where
over
he was just where they were just like, "Hey, Mr. Spindle,
yes, what is it?
I think we've been protecting the bad guys this whole time."
What?
And then he's just like, what? And like opens his blinds, and there's just like this huge room full of vats of goo and tortured prisoners.
And just lepers, like,
oh my god!
Help us!
No. Captain, you didn't open your blinds for 10 months? He's just like, it's been sunny, and there's glare on my computer screen.
Yeah.
Every time I open it, I see a bunch of lepers out there.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was us.
Yeah, I didn't think that was us. I thought that was the park next to our building.
Colonel Spindle, we're underground. It was very clearly the same establishment. Anyway, he locked himself in his office.
Okay.
Colonel Maxson was left by himself to take care of this situation, which, you know what? Not great for morale when you find out you've been dipping other people in horrible acid and turning them into monsters. So, to prevent a mutiny, Captain Maxson...
mutiny.
Hey! I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I know. No, I didn't notice it until Jamie started laughing.
Soldiers were screaming for blood, and the whole situation was at risk of devolving into another blood orgy, just like our old porn star buddy Devlin Stone.
Oh my god, that was a long
time. This is the BattleTech tie-in.
Oh yeah, I'll never stop.
You'll never
every
stop,
single time. I'm just like Super Mario, fucking takes a warp pipe to the periphery.
Yeah.
Super Mario Galaxy lore right now, and how it's also connected to BattleTech, Warhammer 40K, and Event Horizon.
And the Kennedy assassination.
And the Kennedy assassination.
And
what?
Flat Earthers.
Oh, dude, especially. in Super Mario Galaxy, all those little spheres? Bullshit. The game's... It's a video game. On October 12th, when Maxson had to step in to prevent one of his subordinates from killing a member of the science team, who was just like, you fucking monster, is what he said. We don't have a quote here.
You killed Charlie, you son of a bitch!
You turned him into a monster!
Yeah.
Literally!
Yeah.
Poor Johnny from Brooklyn.
Poor Johnny from Brooklyn's a centaur now. Centaurs, for the uninformed, six or seven human hands as legs, just a torso with bone spikes poking out where their arms used to be, and their human head has three horrible tentacles poking out of it.
So is this post-Fallout?
Nope. The FEV was invented before the war.
This is so cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, centaurs and super mutants.
Were around before the bombs dropped.
Yep, because they were trying to cure the new plague, and they were just like,
"That's amazing."
But instead of cough syrup, what if we made monsters?
Centaur, was that some meme that you just threw out there, or that centaurs are in?
It's an enemy in Fallout.
Centaurs are enemies in all of the Fallout games.
They have six arms?
Something like that.
It's like, they're like short, they look like, I don't know, like a slug monster, but it's like a human torso and face, and they have like tentacles coming out of their mouth. I'm not sure if that's what they're looking for, because I haven't played it
I don't
that
know.
Much.
No, they don't have them in 4 anymore, because 4 lacks imagination, substance, and quality. they have just, like, angry dog things now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why I don't know them.
The centaurs themselves are in Fallout 1, 2, possibly Tactics, and 3.
Not
and yeah,
New Vegas.
They might be in New Vegas. I don't remember.
I don't think so. I replayed it recently. I don't remember seeing them.
They have, yeah, like, 6 human hands as legs, and they kind of just drag this fat, gross body behind them.
Mm-hmm. They have
like an upright torso, and then, like I said, just chunks of bone that poke out in like weird places, and then a human face and 3 tentacle tongues that just kind of flop around.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
They're really cool enemies.
As far as I know, lovely. Their ranged attack does no direct damage, but gives you huge amounts of radiation poisoning. So after the discovery here, the soldiers, obviously, like I said, screaming for blood. On October 12th, when Maxson had to step in to prevent one of his subordinates from killing a member of the science team, he ordered interrogations of the science team under his authority as acting commander. He hoped to prevent a full mutiny by offering his troops a semblance of justice. So he's just like, it's just like all showboating, basically, right?
The scientists responsible are gone on suspension with pay.
Exactly. turn a bunch of unarmed civilians into mutants, and they had body cam footage, but it's just like suspension with pay.
Yeah,
exactly.
here's this scientist performing unarmed experiments on a civilian and caught on body cam. You won't believe what happens next.
Yeah, he's just like, hey, I'm going to turn this guy into a mutant if my name isn't Peter O'Donohue.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's my name for real. And my birthday is June 30th, 1991. Yeah, and like that whole thing, just like, well, we can't be sure it was him.
Yeah, yeah.
My social insurance number is this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I like the fact this went on for 10 months without them noticing. It harkens back to Superman's dumb friend, Steven, who is just like, he's the guy who couldn't tell that Superman was Superman through his glasses. He's just like sitting at the table with one of his mutated friends, just like, you know, Jack, did you get a new haircut? But he's like all bald with three tongues, like he's like eating human he's like eating human body parts out of a big cast iron pot.
Spitting radiation.
He's like, I haven't eaten yet today. That stew kind of sounds nice.
Yeah, just like man gristle from from between our bones. Subject to man gristle. The first scientist was brought before Maxon a day later on October 13th. Chief researcher Bobby Anderson explained that the human experiments at the facility were sanctioned by the government. Just like, hey, we was just following orders from also President Richardson, for the record. That's what we...
So is this where... I know we're not touching the Enclave, but is this kind of where it would have touched on the Enclave?
I don't even know what the Enclave is.
The Enclave... That's true, they're gone by Fallout 4. The Enclave, absolutely, because the Enclave is the president. They're some other very, very interesting faction that I might that I'll definitely cover at some point, because they're awesome.
If we're gonna introduce ideas, I gotta explain them to little old me.
Basically, after the Fallout, they were like, they were another faction, like the Brotherhood of Steel, like the NCR, but they were the ones who had the president, like the former president of the United States, back.
Well, not even then. The president of the United States is, there is an actual president, like a guy in a suit in Fallout 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
And he's in a lot of, he's giving speeches in like a lot of robots in Fallout 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's just, good to know.
That's a different guy. I talk about him, though. He's important in this story. Yeah. Well, that's John Henry Eden. President Richardson is in Fallout 2, who dies at the end of that game.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Spoilers, I guess.
No.
You have the option to... You're a bad enough dude to kill the president.
That's it.
Yeah. He outlined the program to the captain. So he was just like, listen, sanctioned by the government. Here's everything that we got. Direct orders from the president of the United fucking States.
Yeah. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Commit horrible atrocities?
Yeah, exactly.
That guy told us to.
Yeah.
Voted for him.
We've been dunking people into the FEV. When Trump says dunk, you dunk.
You dunk, yeah.
Yeah. When he says dunk, you say how high. And then he's like, that doesn't make any sense because that's a downward motion. You're like, that's fine, never mind.
Yeah. Well, basketball kind of makes sense, but yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a sportsman.
No, but I really...
I thought that's what you were going for.
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't play basketball, but I really like tying together what Trump's trying to say.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
It's a hobby of yours?
Yeah.
I love it because of the challenge.
Yeah. You're like an interpreter. Yeah. You have to embed yourself like an anthropologist for 30 years, and then you come out and you're just like, no, it was all stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
We were wrong.
Yeah. Now, how do I link a tweet about supporting the troops and a witch hunt?
Yeah. Exactly. There's a couple of keywords. One, witches. Possible sorcery afoot. So that's a side note here.
Yeah.
They might be pagans.
Yeah. All troops are pagans.
All troops are pagans. Yeah. Lore boys canon.
Yeah.
Support your troops.
Trump canon.
Yeah, Trump canon, exactly.
Sounds like something you'd have in a sports game.
A Trump canon?
Yeah. What are you like? What would you launch at people?
Propaganda.
Yeah.
Toupees.
Yeah.
Toupees. So anyway, he outlined the program to Captain Maxon, emphasizing the fact that it was government ordered. And when Maxon refused to believe him, he was like, "No, the president would never tweet something like that." The scientist lost his nerve and started screaming about how he was just following orders and how he was a military man just like Maxon. The captain shot him in response. He was just like, "Nope, tweet's not real," so he killed him.
I love the idea of all this happening behind closed doors too.
It absolutely did.
Like, no. The scientist was going to give a statement, but he went crazy and we had to shoot him.
Yep. He went like Cujo crazy. You should have been there. He frothing at the mouth, climbed up a tree to eat a cat.
Was
very odd.
Was the officer wearing a body cam? He was, but the footage was lost.
Yes. It was turned off at the request of the deceased. he rationalized it as trying to prevent a full-scale mutiny once again, but he didn't believe it. He was just like, nope. The killing of Robert Anderson, which was the scientist that they had questioned, was effectively established Maxon as a leader of the rebellion. His position was further reinforced just 2 days later on October 15th, when he attempted to speak to Colonel Spindle through the door of his office. It soon became clear that the colonel had completely lost touch with reality, so Maxon and several of his men broke down the door just in time to hear the colonel apologize and shoot himself. So he didn't know, but as soon as he found out, he was completely overcome with guilt. Subsequent scientist interrogations invariably ended in executions. So every time, he was just like, hey, the president tell you to do this? And they were like, yeah, and he'd kill him.
Although, to be fair, it's like, these are Nazi doctors, right? Like, performing horrible experiments
pretty
on prisoners
much.
Of war.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Empty your pockets, and they got those, like, skull-measuring calipers, just like, no.
Nazi doctors, I'm pretty sure, are called optometrists.
What? Nazi! Oh, my God!
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Got the title of the episode right there.
Oh my gosh. That was really good.
That was fucking hilarious, yeah. Holy shit.
Jamie makes me happy.
Not that I don't think you're funny generally,
no,
Jamie.
That's right, man.
I almost said, not that I don't think you're funny generally, Nazi doctor.
Yeah.
So, optometrists, every time they asked him, do I need glasses? And they were like, yeah, they'd kill him. Basically. On October 20th, 2077, Captain Maxon declared his unit in full succession of the United States over the radio. So he was just like, we out, bitches, and then subsequently dropped the ham radio, because that's the technology they had at this time. Yeah, just,
people all over the world grabbed their headphones in data.
And then a day later, he ordered the families of the soldiers under his command to take shelter within the facility. And then finally, on October 23rd, 2077, something else important happened, which you can find out about in our last episode, the end of the world or whatever, who cares?
bombs did drop.
Yeah.
Whatever.
2 hours.
Wait, on the horizon.
World level in 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Life's hard. Get over it, millennials. Okay. 2 days later, they took some readings outside, and luckily, there were no significant amounts of radiation around the Mariposa military base, because nobody really knew what was going on there, right? So the Chinese, or the Ruskies, or Vault-Tec, wink, 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 fucking lore boys conspiracy theories, did not consider Mariposa to be a high priority target, so nobody got bombed.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Fun fact about nuclear weapons... they're generally detonated in the air because there is less radiation fallout. If they impact the ground, they seed radiation into it and last longer. If you blow it up in the air, well, people still live in Hiroshima, right? And that shit would last for 40,000 years.
If you think of a bomb as a sphere, though, like you, like an explosion as a sphere.
The bomb is flat, bro.
No, but yeah, you'd want it to hit the ground, though, so it hit the most damage possible, especially in a nuclear fallout.
Well, no, they also do more damage when detonated in the air, because if they hit the ground, not only do they seed radiation into the earth, they send most of their force directly into the ground, doing no damage.
Yeah.
I would assume
they do more damage.
Yeah, you blow it up in the air, and it's got nowhere to go but out.
If you picture the explosion as a sphere falling towards the ground, I guess the sweet spot would be somewhere in the lower half of the blow-up sphere to let it hit. Yeah.
Not too high.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, they don't want a crater, because craters absorb a lot of the impact.
That's right? Yeah, that's a big
one. So if you need to kill a lot of people, remember, kids.
Air blast.
Blow your bomb up in the air.
Yeah, blow your load in the air.
Time detonation, exactly. Your payload.
Yeah.
This is not a sex education podcast, okay, Ethan?
Let's could be.
Reel it in.
Yeah.
Lore boys, sex ed.
We've been trying to branch out.
Sex ed boys.
We just said we're trying to, like...
Hey, we're looking for some other shit to do in our already packed schedules. We want to do more shit because apparently we want to build some kind of lore boys media empire.
Can we have
empire.
A sex education podcast?
Yeah. Sure.
I'd really like to learn.
I've made so many
mistakes.
How is
baby make?
Okay, well, where the girls, that's where they pee, and you take where you pee, and you touch them together once, and then
there's a bolt of lightning.
Then's babies.
Yeah.
And 4 days later, a teenage boy is made.
Yeah. If there's not a rainbow, you're doing it wrong.
If there's no rainbow, you did it wrong. Exactly. So Maxon, after getting out, and they'll just be like, all right, the weather's good. Apparently nobody tried to kill us.
Yeah.
It's too hard. So let's get the fuck out of here. He ordered everyone to leave the base and head for the Lost Hills Bunker, which would become the headquarters of the Brotherhood of Steel on the West Coast.
Okay.
In November, a few weeks later, they arrived at the bunker after suffering a few casualties. The soldiers, however, were protected by T-51B power armor, which... Google it. It's the one from the cover of Fallout 1.
Yeah.
Is a T-51B. It's on that box.
I can picture it.
Their families had no armor to speak of, however. Marauders that had attacked the caravan. So basically, people went tribal in 8 days.
In the wasteland.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, well, I...
Doesn't it go
power's out. Time
yeah,
to
I don't
eat
think
it
would take very long.
I mean,
look at, what was that the prison experiment, the Stanford prison experiment?
Yeah.
Oh
they,
yeah.
They assigned
yeah, yeah.
like you're gonna be
within 5 days.
Yeah.
You're gonna be guards. And
you're gonna be prisoners. 5 days later, people who saw each other as equal people started beating people up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because, people who were appointed to be guards were just like, yeah. Let's beat the shit out of these fucking prisoners.
Lord of the Flies put a bunch of kids
exactly,
on
there. Exactly.
It's,
yeah.
Like we're base things and society's holding us together.
RuPaul's yeah. Drag Race.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a dog eat dog.
That is a great example of what could happen. Yeah.
Also, happy Pride Month if you're listening to this in June. If not, better luck next year.
Yeah.
Better nerds. Luck next year.
If you're not, set your calendar.
Yeah,
exactly. June 2019 or 2020.
Yeah.
Who knows when you're listening?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who knows when you're it's going to be on the internet forever until yeah. the world ends, apparently. So marauders anyway attacked the families because they were just like, man, these aren't encased in nigh indestructible power armor. Though the attackers paid with 2 lives for every one they took, many were lost, including Roger Maxon's wife.
No.
However, his son,
that sounds like something that might radicalize someone,
survived. Exactly. The Lost Hills became the bastion of technology, armor, lasers, the whole shebang.
Okay.
Right.
Cool. Because they weren't nuked.
Well, no, not directly. Yeah. And also they managed to leave Mariposa clad in armor, carrying lasers.
Okay, yeah.
Excuse me. As the Brotherhood grew, it developed its own caste and rank system, drifting away from the United States Armed Forces it originated from, and in 2135, Roger Maxon died of cancer.
Yikes. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Already a legendary figure to the Brotherhood, he was essentially deified as the founder and deliverer, and his son, Maxon II, replaced him as High Elder, while his grandson, John Maxon, joined the Paladin cast.
Okay.
So the Brotherhood changed
that's
to
our other podcast.
A though. Very... Yeah. The Paladin cast. They had a very...
We'll talk about Paladins. The video game.
The game that nobody plays.
Yeah.
Well,
they
none
heal,
of us, at
they
least.
Hurt, they protect.
It's coming to the Switch, dude.
Yeah. Huh?
Coming to the Switch.
I've always been kind of curious about it. It looks like free Overwatch.
Yeah.
And they've got their own Pharah. Like, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
It's like a dragon guy instead of a lady, so I'm like, fucking done.
What's that other one that went under? Paragon.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
No, like, two months ago, their servers were cut.
Yeah. Yikes around.
Yeah.
This bit about Maxon's son reminds me of the Blake Jihad a lot.
Oh, yeah.
From our BattleTech episode.
Where the founder is accidentally deified by a bunch
exactly,
of religious
yeah.
lunatics.
He just
yeah.
dies and everyone else is like, well, I guess he was our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, it was probably Jesus, too.
Yeah.
He just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of Blake Jihad. Reminds me of day-to-day life, maybe a little bit, but I'm not going to expand on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Jamie leads a very interesting life that we don't talk about. Check out our third podcast, A Day in the Life of Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the third podcast was not. It was hosted by me and was very rowdy. So if you want to listen to it, do. But if you don't, I get it.
What?
He missed it. But it's
right.
cool.
Anyway.
Life of the Miller.
Third separate podcast because we were going to do the Paladins podcast.
Oh, sorry.
You saw third episode.
Guys, I am sunburned and sick, and I'm like behind the times at the moment.
It's okay,
do
man.
Good.
Yeah.
Do good, man. Do good.
No, yeah, just
fun,
like set this one on your watch later
I was
going
to let it slide. People didn't want to let
yeah.
it slide.
Okay. Set this one on your watch later list. You know what? Next time you've got a cold, just snuggle up to us. We all got
yeah.
colds, man. Except the dog. She's just licking her butt right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Think a butt.
Are you guys ever tired, cold, and sick? Just snuggle up, put your ears in, and snuggle up to the bosom of Lore Boys. And
yeah.
Cozy.
All three of us.
Snuggle up to our ASMR podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome.
So glad to have you.
ASMR
you're
Boys
sick.
Coming soon.
So glad you're sick here with us on the Lore Boys ASMR.
Welcome.
Oh no!
No!
Done this again.
Oh no.
Hey, if we're gonna do ASMR, we will make Mad Bank.
Peter, I'm editing. I'm just gonna loop you making that noise for an hour and release it.
You know what, motherfucker? You do whatever you want. Yeah. You guys have no input on the art. I have no input on the cut. That's it. It's all fucking sorcery as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Anyway, the cast system for the for some reason, I was like, the cast system of the Lore Boys, the cast system of the Brotherhood is very medieval knight. They've got scribes, paladins, yeah. squire, knights, elders, paladins. All that shit. Paladins, exactly. Paladin dance. Paladin dancing in the dark.
Somewhere.
Exactly.
In the dark. Don't start a fire.
Can't start a fire without a flame.
Spark, yeah.
Whatever.
Comes for hire.
More Fallout, though. Stop this now. No, just leave it there.
It's Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. In 2150, they clashed with a gang of raiders known as the Vipers. Okay. The battles intensified in subsequent years.
Okay.
Subsequent.
That's convincing.
Get to let off some steam there.
Oh my god. Yeah. It's just I'm just tripping over my teeth, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Culminating in the death of High Elder Maxon in 2155.
Oh no.
He expected the raiders to break formation and flee when faced with the Brotherhood warriors clad in power armor. He was just like, nah, we'll spook them real good. Look at how scary we is.
Yeah, yeah.
But did not account for their religious ferocity.
There's
and
zeal,
then
fervor.
A poisoned arrow nicked him while his helmet was off, and he died within hours.
Mm. I love it. It's like, oh, they'll never beat us. We have this unstoppable power armor. Well, I'm just going to take off my helmet.
Yeah.
I really can't breathe in this thing.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Arrow in the fucking head.
It was the 50s, man. You know how much you're using oil? And so, well, it's like the 50s forever, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
They probably had to stop to take cigarette breaks every 10 minutes.
Just like smoke inside their helmets. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly. It.
He's like, hang on, boys. I need another fresh and another cool and refreshing Laramie cigarette. Yeah. And he just like takes his helmet off and just like,
yeah.
Nothing beats the smooth and clean draw of an unfiltered Laramie.
Yeah.
It like threw the
like
cigarette.
Right through cigarette.
Like, it like flips open like in a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Camel is there in like a power, it's like a power armor, but he's just like Joe Camel. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you want a cigarette, buddy?
There's some artwork for
he's
you.
He's got a power armor jock strap on his nose.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe you found the meme. This would leave his son, John Maxon, to eventually become the Elder.
Okay.
Now we're getting kind of into the kind of periphery we're surrounding the games here. In 2161, which is when Fallout 1 is set, the Brotherhood discovered...
This is almost 100 years after the bomb.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Coming up on it.
Yeah.
This is like 50 years later than we think Fallout 76 is going to be.
Well, we say Fallout 76 is going to be 25 years after 77, so that's, what, 2102?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's 59 years.
Yeah.
The Brotherhood discovered the presence of a new enemy. In October, which apparently is the shit month in the future, going forward, just remember, just stay inside, everybody. That's my record. That's my recommendation.
Yeah.
A group of knights... What?
Except for Halloween.
Go out on Halloween.
Got a trick or treat.
For the other 30 days, stay inside. Because one, a lot of things are going to happen. You're going to get a new job.
Yeah.
Turns out your boss is experimenting on people behind a closed door. Then your boss's boss is going to go crazy and shoot himself in the head.
Yeah.
You're going to have to execute a bunch of people. Then the world is going to end. You know, it's really not worth it.
It's not worth it. Just stay inside.
Just have some nice, just have a nice month of like Instagram photos of your food.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Do weird experiments on your pets.
If you turn your dog into a centaur, who cares?
Yeah.
He'd be kind of cute, maybe.
He's kind of cute, maybe.
I mean,
in a horrific kind of way.
Yeah, if ice had more legs.
And there were human hands.
I wish you could show the cast how peacefully sleeping she is, and they want to mutate her right now.
Yeah. We can mutate my cat in that case.
Okay.
Yeah. Screamer, if she was just like big enough to ride, I think that'd be sick.
Screamer is a really good name for a mutant, too.
Yeah. They discovered a dead super mutant in October of 2161. Now, at this point, they were just like, wait a second. What? How? Who? How did this happen? After examining the creature, the master scribe, Vri, determined that the monster was sterile. So it's like, if nobody's been fucking,
yeah,
this thing's coming from somewhere.
How are we getting new super mutants?
We gotta find it. Exactly.
The FEV is out there.
Exactly.
So these aren't Did the super mutants from that were originally experimented on, what happened to all of them? Did they get culled or what?
Some of them must have survived.
Okay.
Because the vats of FEV were still around.
Vats? That's a mechanic of Fallout.
Yes, but it is. Yeah, in Fallout 3.
Tanks, yeah.
Yeah, Fallout 3. But they are called the vats. Before vats was a vats. Before vats were vats, vats was vats.
Yeah, vats right? Like a big old container with a bunch of water that usually tank. Soak things in.
Or in our instant, in our context here, full of evil goo.
Yeah,
goo.
It's what you store goo in.
Yeah, you got a goo containment system.
Yeah,
you call it a vat.
Call it a vat.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they were thinking. They were just like, hey, gotta come from somewhere. Because this thing, sterile, this one specimen is sterile, meaning I'm just going to come to a conclusion here
that
immediately.
All of them are
they're
sterile.
Probably all sterile. Yeah, yeah. Let's be real. Okay. And everybody was just like, that's a good assessment.
Yeah.
Turns out he was right.
That's
or
Darwinism.
They were right. I actually didn't check Scribe Free. Man,
he, she, or
girl, guy,
he, she,
lady.
He, it, or they.
Yeah, them.
If you just say they, yeah, if you just say they, you're always safe.
Yeah.
Vree determined that they were sterile. The super mutants they, not the Vree they. You know what? This is too hard. The elders also sent out several scouts north and east into the Badlands. Only one returned from the east, reporting an encounter with 20 super mutants, and none at all returned from the north. The council, however, could not reach an agreement on how to act, even as the hub merchants, the hub being the largest town in the wasteland on the west coast, their caravan started disappearing in the northern wastes. The elders refused to act until they were fully certain that there was an army massing in the northern mountains. They were like, listen, I understand that everybody's disappearing, but unless you can prove that it's an army doing it, I'm not going
to. We're not going to do anything about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It could be a cold. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they all just got the sniffles. They decided to stay in. Hey, it is October. Most people stay in.
Maybe there's a very big, well-disguised hole full of pointy sticks somewhere up there that everybody's just falling into. I don't fucking know.
It's a giant punchy pit.
Yeah, big punchy pit. Bunch of dried leaves over a hole full of pointy sticks. I'm not psychic. Right? The impasse was broken by the arrival of...
Arthur.
No. What'd you say?
Arthur Maxon.
No! You, the player. You listening right now. The Vault Dweller from Vault 13. Fallout 1.
Oh, this is Fallout 1.
Yeah, the impasse was broken by the arrival of the Vault Dweller. Having rescued a Brotherhood initiate from bandits in the hub, the merchant town, the Dweller visited the Brotherhood and accepted the mission to the Glow. The Glow...
is like a super irradiated place. Right?
It is, but do you know what it used to be?
Great place to start.
Los Angeles.
Ooh, not close. We're going to talk about that soon.
San Fran?
I said a great place to start a family.
San Fran.
Nope. It was West Tech.
Oh.
West Tech. West Tech was obviously subjected to a direct nuclear strike, what with the fucking invention of laser weapons and power armor.
Power armor, yeah.
And in the post-war was known as the Glow.
Oh,
because
cool.
of the high levels of radiation that caused an aurora-like effect to emanate out of the pit which it resided in.
Okay, that's cute.
Yeah, it is a good place to raise a family if you want skinny, bald children, I guess. I mean, I don't, but whatever. Teach their own. I'm not going to teach how to raise your fucking kids.
Oh, my God.
Childhood obesity is a problem.
Parenting tips for the lore boys.
Yeah, lore boys canon.
Consider a pit of radiation.
That'll be our fifth podcast, is how to raise how you raise your kids.
How to train your kids.
How to train your dragon.
How to train your kids 3.
Yeah, 3. It looks good.
Well, actually, like about 18 to 19 years, they kind of look more like a dragon than a kid.
Yeah, that is true. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
In 18, 19 years of radiation.
And you've got your fucking redheaded step centaur, and they're just like, blah, blah, blah,
blah. Step centaur.
And you're like, Jeremy, stop it.
Yeah.
Which is just my go-to name. I'm sorry, real Jeremy. Yeah. Oh, I know you're listening to this. The Dweller surprised everybody by not only agreeing to go to the Glow, but also surviving and returning from the Glow.
Oh,
because
shit.
He or she had protagonist powers to
that's
protect.
Good.
It's like, had the power of saves coming.
Yeah.
Huzzah! F5, F9. Haha, you can't kill me. The Dweller surprised everybody, then they returned with an artifact, which was a disc that was on some other Brotherhood paladin that had gone there and died.
Okay.
They became the first outsider as well to join the Brotherhood of Steel in nearly 20 years.
Okay.
The Brotherhood shared what knowledge they had of some of the advanced technology with the Vault Dweller, allowing them to seek out the Master, the creator of the mutants, using the FEV vats.
Okay.
And destroy him in the Boneyard, which was the ruin of Los Angeles.
Okay.
So called the Boneyard because the skyscrapers had all their glass blown out of the windows, and they looked like skeletal pillars of bone riding out of the ground.
That's cool.
Oh, hell yeah. the Master's faction, I suppose you could call it, of creating the super mutants. So the Master, I guess I'll describe him to you.
Yeah, please.
He was a real person whose name I did not write down. He was friends with Harold, who is the talking tree Fallout 3.
Harold, yeah. Like, as in, like, the traditional name Harold with an A, or Harold, like, the H-E-R?
The name,
okay.
The name. So Harold is a character
in
Fallout.
Like the Herald of radioactive Fallout.
Yeah, exactly. The Herald of the Times, exactly. So Harold is in Fallout 1, 2, and 3. In Fallout 1... he has a small tree named Bob growing out of his head, or it's more of a branch.
Yeah.
It looks like he's a ghoul, but the branch gives him away. He is an FEV mutant because him and his buddy, whose name I forgot, and I'm sorry I didn't write it down, had stumbled across the Mariposa military base and then fallen into the vats.
Okay.
Harold came out as kind of like a desiccated husk with a tree growing out of his head.
How does a tree fall into a vat?
Harold's a person. Bob is a tree.
So Harold has a tree growing out of him?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then in Fallout 2, it's slightly larger, and then at some point between Fallouts 2 and 3, he ends up going to DC, where he ends up getting overwhelmed by the weight of the tree, and he turns into a talking tree.
Yeah. Gotcha. And no spoilers, that's a great quest.
It is. Okay, Fallout 3 has nothing but good quests,
yeah,
because from what I recall, there's only 30.
Yeah.
You know, like, Skyrim and Fallout 4 have 100, 200 quests. You cannot write that much content and have it all be good. Fallout 3...
Hey, tell that to The Witcher, man.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, well, okay, this is pre-Witcher. This is pre-Witcher, okay? There's nobody that talented. Let's be real. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's all such a spectrum, too, though, because, like, you hear all these stories of, like, fuck, The Witcher was amazing, but the developers were worked down to their bone to get this thing out, right? And
I love it, but
I wish that didn't.
But there was 30 odd great quests in Fallout 3, and the one with Harold the Tree is one of the best ones.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But the ending to it is just fantastic.
As I recall, in the vanilla Fallout 3 no expansions, including the story, there are 36 quests total.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All around, because they're all handcrafted, they're all multi-staged, they're all multi-everything. There's none of this go here, kill a guy, come back, I'll give you $20 sort of shit. Yeah. It's all fantastic. The one with Harold is fantastic, because there's like 5 or 6 different ways to finish that quest.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Harold and his buddy fall into some vats. His buddy turns into the Master, who is basically a pool of meat fused to a sentry turret that has a partially melted human head on a spindly neck in the middle, another side that's just an eyeball, and another side that I think is like this big gross arm, and he speaks. They actually have 3 voice actors who voice him at the same time.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
It's a really
it's like
good
that
effect.
Harmony,
yeah, it's a really, really good effect. It's it's a neat effect established that they used to good effect in System Shock 2 as well. The Many, which again is another meat abomination, also speaks in multiple voices, one of which is my boy Steven Russell, who voices Nick Valentine in Fallout 4, robot detective.
This triple talking,
the coolest character
of Fallout 4. This triple talking chili gun, what is his, like, the meat pool, what is he?
The Master?
Yeah. Oh, he's the Master.
He just wants to create, he establishes the faction called the Unity, and he just wants to dip dudes in vats of FEV to make more mutants.
I love
and make
this.
The most sustainable engine for mobile games.
Yeah, exactly.
I love this that, like, Jeff the Master and Harold are, like, walking through Mariposa.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, they got a pool here. Sweet, man. You want to go for a dip? Yeah, sure, but I'm going to bring my sentry turret. That's cool. I'm going to bring this baby tree.
And just they both jump in. You mind if I water my sapling while we're there?
Yeah,
yeah, no problem.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to clean my gun.
He's like the Charlie Brown tree.
Yeah. So dumb.
Like a diving board and everything.
Yeah, yeah. There's just like a shelf next to the pool, and they like splash the shelf, and like it falls over, and there was just one sentry turret and one tree on the shelf, like both fall in the pool. Like,
don't get that gun wet. I won't. Yeah, stop splashing me with goo, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like having fun.
Yeah, yeah. Playing in the pool. There's two things on the, like a Christmas tree and this fucking sentient turtle. Christmas
edible. And seasonal.
Yeah. It's like a cardboard box. Just says holiday decorations. Yeah. Just like falls into it.
Yeah.
He comes up as like a Christmas monster.
Yeah. It's like a box that says holiday decorations / automated sentry turrets.
Yeah, defense plus Christmas.
Sentry turrets also have those really useful plugs where on the back of the plug, you can just plug another one into
them. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you can set up a bunch.
You got a chain going.
So after the defeat of the Unity, the Master's faction, the Brotherhood...
At the hands of the Brotherhood.
At the hands... Well, that technically at the...
Not the Brotherhood.
The direct hands of the Vault Dweller who had... joined the Brotherhood at this point, right? Okay. You, the Master's the last boss.
You, the protagonist. Yeah.
If you have a high enough speech skill in that game, you can just convince him to kill himself.
Yeah.
You just be
like...
like
a lot of Fallout.
You were just like, hey, man, stop it.
Yeah. Hey, you.
95% to succeed. He's just like, and he's just like, okay, and then he just blows up.
Three voices in unison proclaim, okay.
Well, if you put it that way...
You stay, me go.
I suppose so.
The Iron Giant swoops in and takes him away.
Exactly. Where's the giant, Mansley?
You have to pass three 95% chances in a row.
Yeah.
You gotta give it
I'd fucking roll those dice. Yeah. The highest chance to hit in Fallout 3 is 95%.
Yeah.
Canonically speaking, in all Fallout games, even the bad ones, the highest chance to hit is 95%. You can never guarantee hit something.
I gotta say...
Despite the fact I have barely ever missed on a 95.
In most of life, things that you try to do...
Right.
Is like a 95% most things in life. There's very rare that you get 100% on anything, right? Especially speech. You get Ethan.
Yeah.
Kill yourself.
No.
Okay. See, I have really good speech towards him.
Yeah, exactly. That's like a 68%.
Jamie has the perk, which gives him a plus 95% to podcast co-host.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. To interact with
him. It's the perk's social media manager.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Nerd Slayer.
So after the destruction of the Unity, the Brotherhood grew confident in its status as the sole source of advanced technology left to mankind. They were just like, you want it, we got it.
Well, look at us, we got the biggest laser gun dick of all.
And it allowed its prominence and influence to wane, growing stagnant. The stagnancy made them unable to deal with a technologically superior enclave.
Oh,
When the Brotherhood learned of its existence around 2240, once the enclave... because they had the president and they were the shadow government before the war, continued to develop technology after the war was over.
Oh, wow.
That is why Enclave power armor and Enclave energy weapons are better. Objectively superior to the pre-war shit. So all the power armor you find in the game that is not, I guess for you in Fallout 4, it's the XO1 power armor. That's Enclave shit.
Okay.
That's the best power armor in the game.
Cool.
That was developed after the war.
Awesome. I never did a power armor build because it was just cumbersome to find the power for the power armor.
Those rad tubes.
It's like, I don't really want to look for those.
But it's mini nuclear reactors.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It is cool, though, that you walk around in a suit powered by a nuclear reactor.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like the fact you have to reload it in Fallout 4 because it's not canon up until that point where they're supposed to be self-sustaining for like 400 or 500 years.
Yeah,
exactly.
But canon soon.
Which they would be.
Lord was canon. Exactly.
A nuclear reactor is not like a battery where it's like it has a certain drain. It just produces a steady amount of energy over a given time. But hey. Maybe you say like the turbines wear out or something.
But anyway, the Enclave is the main villain in Fallout 2.
Cool.
And the Brotherhood was not prepared to face this because they just assumed that they, like you said, had the biggest dick in the West.
Yeah.
Turns out
they said the biggest laser gun dick.
Whatever.
Which is cooler than
turns
just a regular
out,
dick.
I hate that term, by the way. Like,
the biggest dick in the West?
Things like, it's the best because it's got the biggest dick. It's like, why don't we use any other way to describe it?
Because that's how they're... I feel like that's kind of how they're describing themselves. Yeah.
Whatever,
the best,
James.
We got the biggest dick. Herder.
No.
I think it's the...
I'll take a stand on this.
It's the false sense.
The hill you're dying
on. Exactly.
Whatever.
Gun dicks.
They got the biggest titties in the West, if that's what you're fucking...
I'm on board.
We're the brothers.
There we go.
We got the biggest titties in the West.
We can motorboat anybody.
These titties are too big to fit my power armor.
Yeah, exactly.
Or in your stupid Enclave power armor.
Anyway, they weren't ready for this because they just assumed. But the fact that the Enclave had been able to because the Enclave was based at this time on an oil rig that was offshore and without the ability to go out to sea, you could not Get to them. So nobody really knew they were there.
Okay.
So they continue to develop science. They have better power armor. They have plasma weapons, which are way more powerful than energy laser. Than laser weapons. They're ridiculous. Once the Enclave was, however, destroyed, I didn't get into this whole thing. The Enclave on the West Coast was destroyed by the Chosen One, which is the plot of Fallout 2. Because the Enclave, once they thought that they were cool enough, decided to return to the mainland and start killing everybody. Everybody with just a hint of radiation in their body. If you were barely mutated because you were born in the 2160s and you were, whatever, 18 at this point, they were just like, nope, you're gross, I hate you, despite the fact you were totally a normal-looking person, not
you're
even
icky.
A ghoul or a super mutant or Harold with a tree or a box of Christmas decorations that got a little wet, the FEV vat or whatever. They were just like, nope, gotta die. They were genetic purists.
Okay.
They were done. However, in Fallout 2, not going to go through that whole game, you beat him. You beat the last boss.
Do you?
You beat the last boss.
Wowie, wow.
Exactly.
You tell him to knock it off, and the Iron Giant comes in and swoops him away.
Exactly. once the Enclave was destroyed by the Chosen One, the Brotherhood was without a foe to face, so they started to get a little bit bored. They were like, we got all these lasers, but none to shoot.
Let's go pick fights.
Exactly.
And they have plasma guns. Thank you very much.
In an effort to end the stagnation, the Brotherhood expanded eastward. Most notably, the formation of the Mojave Chapter, which is the people you run into in
Washington,
New Vegas.
Washington, D.C., yeah.
Mojave.
Oh, no, in New Vegas. I thought that the Mojave was in 3.
Nope. No.
Well, New Vegas is kind of 3.
Yeah. Okay. It's a direct sequel to 2. The other contingent that went east was a group led by Owen Lyons in 2254 that would eventually reach Washington, D.C. and the Capital Wasteland, which is the surrounding area.
Oh, cool.
On their way to the Capital Wasteland, the Brotherhood Expedition Force came across the ruins of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In a single night, the Brotherhood swept through the city and eliminated any residents who put up a fight. This is known as the Scourge.
Okay.
And the intent of the Scourge is hitherto unknown. We still have no idea why Elder Lyons was just like, they got into Pittsburgh, and he was just like, okay, you are going to ask everybody one question, and if the answer is no, you're going to kill him.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yep, exactly. Order received.
Yeah. Although I will say, is this pre or post Fallout 3 DLC, do you know?
This is pre. They have, because they're moving east, they hit Pittsburgh before they hit DC.
Okay.
Because they're coming east from California.
There's a Fallout 3 DLC, which takes place in Pittsburgh, called The Pit.
I'm going to mention The Pit, actually.
Oh, cool.
Because The Pit, I'm going to mention The Pit. I'm not going to mention what happens in the DLC, because it's not Brotherhood related.
Okay.
But the reason it's the way it is part of Brotherhood history.
Okay, cool.
Many in the Brotherhood note that it marked a change in the way that the Brotherhood operates. So we know from our experiences with Fallout 3 that the Brotherhood in Fallout 3 are kind of like the objective good guys. They're not so much xenophobic techno-fascists that they used to be, because they seem like really intent on helping people.
Yeah.
This is all due to Owen Lyons, or Elder Lyons as he'll come to be known, because he just kind of has a different opinion of things, and when you get...
He was in 3, right?
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Lyons' contingent left the city with about 20 children in tow, who would later be initiated into the Brotherhood. So they killed people, killed their parents, took the kids with them, initiated them into the Brotherhood.
You, Timmy, you're coming with us.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, mister.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? These two piles of dust can't feed you, so we'll take you. We'll take you after they dissolve the parents.
Yeah.
Don't they all call each other brother all the time?
Hey, brother.
They usually refer to each other by rank. Hey, brother.
Yeah, they're all Randy Savage.
Want to get some purified water, brother.
Yeah.
Sort of shit. Yeah. During the Scourge, however, Lyons' forces suffered only one casualty.
Wow.
This would be Paladin Ishmael Asher was buried by rubble during the fighting and presumed dead. However, Asher survived and established firm control of the pit, transforming it into an industrial powerhouse supported by the Brotherhood technological know-how at the time of the pit.
Okay.
Asher is the leader of...
So that's the story of the DLC? It's been so long since I played the DLC.
If you play the DLC, Asher is already the leader, and you kind of choose the Asher or the slaves.
Okay. Yeah.
But the reason he is there is because he was buried by rubble, and the Brotherhood left him behind on their way to DC.
I really want to replay it.
I haven't played it ever.
It's so fucking good.
I'm going to finish one.
might play 2.
You might as well. You might like it. I know, like, I personally don't like 2, but yeah. I've got some friends who love both 1 and 2 and 3, and or
I'm
all
really
3,
like
rather.
One, so
yeah.
I'll finish that
first. Lion's group finally arrived in the Capital Wasteland in 2255, this being 22 years before Fallout 3,
mm-hmm.
Establishing a base of operations within the Pentagon in the first few months. Though the Pentagon was largely destroyed, its sub-levels remained completely intact.
Okay.
And the surviving stockpiles contained undistributed pre-war technology and weaponry to sustain their operations. So they got shiny new power.
They got all the caps,
shiny new lasers, all the caps that money can spend on.
As this was pre-war. This was still pre-war power.
Yes. Okay. The only people with post-war power armor are the Enclave. Okay. Brotherhood, pre-war.
That's
best what, pre-war, best war.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah, that's
what I thought. I was just like, well, they found it.
The crown jewel, however, that they found in the Pentagon was, do you guys want to guess?
A crown jewel.
No. it was...
Better dead than red.
No, it's that...
Death is a preferable alternative to communism.
That punching weapon.
Oh,
from
the giant... what's it called?
Yeah.
His name. I know what you're talking about. The giant... The iron gold. The Iron Giant, basically.
Liberty Prime.
Liberty Prime.
Liberty Prime.
Yeah, okay.
Liberty Prime is a 25-foot-tall bipedal robot that had been completed, and they intended to ship to Alaska, which is why it shouts nothing but anti-communist propaganda,
yeah.
But the world ended before they could get it out of the Pentagon.
Yeah.
It is a giant robot with a laser eye that throws tiny atomic bombs like footballs. And hates communists.
Like football. Yeah. So American.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
It's that's the ending of Fallout 3, is like you follow this thing.
Well, you fix it, and then you follow this thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
So they intended to build Liberty Prime, ship them on over to Alaska, but sadly, you know, things come up. Sometimes
the world ends.
Exactly. Your kid gets a cold. You can't go on that business trip.
Yeah.
Sometimes the world ends, and you can't ship your death robot to Alaska. You know, fucking hashtag relatable. Am I right?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
dude. I've been there. Mondays.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone's going to catch the Mondays.
No. However, the discovery of Liberty Prime earned Paladin Lions a battlefield promotion to Elder, because he was just like, okay, everybody, pay attention.
Yeah.
And he just stood in front of it. He just, like, pulled down a curtain that was very clearly too small. It's like...
Yeah.
And it's like, we could already see it. So.
Yeah.
It's like, anyway, I think I deserve some credit for this. We're like, well, you know what? The death robot's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what? We're a bit picky here over on the Brotherhood, on the West Coast here.
Yeah.
California, we're pretty high and mighty. Yeah. But the robot, that's good.
What are we going to do?
You're
guys
in charge now.
Yeah. What are we going to do, guys? Did we find anything good? Oh, let's see. I found this laser gun. I found this slingshot. Well, I found a 25-foot-tall death robot.
Yeah.
I think Lions wins.
It's like a science fair.
Yeah. guy with a slingshot just shoots like one stone at the robot.
Yeah. Lions put like bacon soda and vinegar on the top of the robot.
It's like come out. Oh my god,
science fair,
dude!
Like, there's like a laser gun. There's a slingshot. And there's like a 25-foot-tall robot.
I was thinking about like what our artwork should be. That might be.
That's
it.
Really
it's just
one.
Like. Liberty Prime with the paper
just,
mache
just,
volcano.
Yeah.
There we go. Maybe you found the Easter egg, kids.
Or it's not even like on his head. It's just like you just see his feet, and then it's just like on one of his feet. There's like a little
like
paper
foam?
Mache volcano.
Oh my god.
That's great.
That's good. It's good.
We have fun here.
Go team. Yeah, exactly. It's a family podcast.
Exactly.
Fuck. Anyway, as his new actions as Elder, his new directive is from his superiors from Southern California, establish a new and permanent Brotherhood base in the Capital Wasteland. They were like, well, you know what? Sure, the White House and the Pentagon were there. We didn't really care about that. The robot, though.
Giant death robot.
Maybe
we
guys want to kick around.
See how this unfolds. Am I right?
Exactly. It's like, I don't know what we're going to do with it. Maybe kill people, but probably not. But
it's
keep it around.
It's
you know
a nice
what?
Thing to have in your back pocket.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. You need your trump card every once in a while where you're just like, haha, I had an ace up my sleeve. Haha, it was a fucking robot.
Yeah,
with
it was
eyes.
A giant death robot all along.
It's like, wait a second, pulls the wig off of it. It's like, this is a giant robot. It's like married to a Chinese guy.
Yeah.
And anyway, they also just decided to expand their search for technology. However, shortly after their arrival, Lion's scouts have identified a new threat in the area, a peculiar breed of super mutant-like beings. They were infesting the deserted ruins of downtown DC. Concerned by their presence and convinced that they are the primary threat to the wasteland, Lions initiated a proactive campaign of aggression to eradicate them.
Yeah, that's like their whole thing in Fallout 3.
Exactly. At the same time, they lent assistance to two people named James and Catherine, a pair of scientists attempting to build a mass-scale purifier, intending to supply the wasteland with a virtually inexhaustible source of fresh purified water, reducing their dependence on local purification methods. Ultimately, Project Purity failed to take off despite Brotherhood involvement, and Project Purity died shortly after, together with Catherine, James's wife, and the player's mother.
Yeah.
Catherine and James are your parents,
in
Fallout 3.
Liam
Neeson is James.
Liam Neeson, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, like, I was gonna say, like, my parents are, like, Robert and Anne.
Well, that's your grandparents in Fallout 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go. The East Coast Super Mutants became Lion's obsession shortly thereafter. How had these mutants been created? Were they related to the Super Mutants in New California in the West? Why were they capturing people, more importantly, and where were they taking them? Because the West Coast boys, not big on the kidnappings. Much more on the murder and the skin eating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Less big on the...
I know a lot of people like cook a chicken. Skin's like their favorite part.
Yeah.
Mine.
I think, from what I understand... Listen, I played Fallout 3 3-4 times. I understand. Human skin, also the most delicious part. Because it retains the most spice.
Ooh. I've been marinating over here for a while, boys, so yeah. You want to peel off a piece later.
You damn right. The second we're off air. His obsession would result in him going rogue, however, and cutting off contact with the Brotherhood on the West Coast completely. Because they were like, hey, can you get us more TI-84 calculators? He's like, actually, there's a lot of skin-eating mutants over on this side. They were like, yeah. But the calculators, though, he's like, I'm sorry, you're breaking up, crumpling up a piece of paper. Yeah. He's like, I'm sorry. And then he just hung up the phone.
I'm going through a tunnel.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta let you go. I'm going through a canyon right now.
And then they hang up, just like, huh. Owen doesn't have a car.
Yeah.
His obsession would result in him going rogue and cutting off contact with the Brotherhood on the West Coast completely, and he changed his objective from recovering tech to eliminating the super mutants and protecting the people of DC. Which... Okay. No, the bros, not big on their whole protection thing. They care very much more about laser guns than they do
killing mutants.
Exactly. Yeah. Than they care more about lasers than do about killing mutants, but way more than they care about protecting people.
Yeah.
Not everybody was happy about this, obviously.
Obviously.
Because it's like, look, I was hired to pick up laser guns, not shoot laser guns.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah.
The tips of my fingers are so smooth from doing nothing all my life. I'm not about to start getting calluses here, Lions.
Yeah. I literally signed up to make sure nobody would use these weapons.
Exactly.
Making me use these weapons.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to get them fucking dirty.
Yeah.
Everybody was happy about it. So these are the more zealous members of the Brotherhood of Steel, and they would break off and become the outcasts.
Okay,
and in
yeah.
Fallout 3, they're the guys in the black and red armor.
Yeah.
Those are the Brotherhood outcasts.
Okay.
They were just
listen. All right.
Yeah, I spray painted my armor. You can count this as my resignation. I'm going to go start my own Brotherhood and wait for somebody cool to come and get me.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, right, excuse me. The other person who is actually at the Pentagon in Fallout 3 is a young man named Arthur Maxon.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, you do. The Lone Wanderer, who is the player character from Fallout 3, would eventually come across Sarah Lyons. Her title is Sentinel Lyons of the Lyons Pride, because the one thing that you cannot take away from humanity is their puns.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is Owen Lyons' daughter.
Is he
called a Lone Wanderer in 3?
The Lone Wanderer. So you've got the Vault Dweller, the Chosen One, the Lone Wanderer in 3.
So
and then you've got the Courier.
In 76, they want to make this a multiplayer game. Think of what Fallout has been up to this point, right? Lone Wanderer,
yeah.
Chosen One, all this stuff where they're so singular, right? Like, and now to make it a multiplayer game, it feels weird.
Yeah.
But anyways,
one of the Chosen Ones, one of the Wanderers,
yeah.
One of the Vault Dwellers.
Yeah.
You're all equally special. It's just a fucking... If this ends up being Fallout 76 fucking subtitle participation medal, I'm going to kill myself. You're supposed to laugh, Jamie.
Oh.
Right, anyway. Player character runs into Sarah Lyons, and he starts to assist them in fighting... The player character, excuse me, starts fighting to help the Brotherhood fighting the super mutant threat. In return, they would help the Lone Wanderer complete their parents' dream, which is Project Purity, which is turning the Jefferson Memorial into a water purifier.
Water purifier.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is drinking water funny to you, James?
Come on. A little bit turning like a... That's what they need to turn into the pro, to like
yeah
like
yeah.
The, if they have
we need the protagonist of a video game stat can't finish it otherwise.
There's a lot of ways to purify water, and it's like, oh well, we need the Jefferson Memorial.
It's close to the Potomac River. It's a location thing.
Oh, okay.
You got to play Fallout 3, dog.
I really, really do.
It'll totally run on your computer, and it's fucking incredible. I love it. It's amazing. Interference, however. For Project Purity came from guess
the Brotherhood of
Steel. No.
No, wait.
It's the Enclave.
The Enclave.
The Enclave.
People of Raven Rock.
Yeah, exactly. The Enclave, having been blown fucking to Kingdom Come on the West Coast, was just like, you know what? I remember when we were led by the president. Where did the president used to live? Oh, Washington, D.C. Let's head there. They went to the Raven Rock military base, in which they had the Zax supercomputer named John Henry Eden, which then became the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Voiced by Malcolm McDowell, which, technically speaking, could still be canon, considering a computer would not have a real voice.
Yep.
You could still say that, canonically speaking, in the Fallout universe, real actor Malcolm McDowell provided the voice for the Zax presidential supercomputer.
So he'll live for another 150 years.
Technically.
And then provide the voice.
Yeah. In the same way that you can rewatch an episode of The Simpsons now. Or here's a better example, actually, because none of those people are dead. You can rewatch Snow White right now. All the people in that movie are dead because that movie was made in the 30s.
Uh-huh.
Let's be real.
Uh-huh.
So kind of like that.
Kind of like the opposite, though, isn't it?
Actress who played Snow White is to Malcolm McDowell playing John Henry.
Oh, yeah. I guess Malcolm McDowell would only have to report before the Fallout.
Correct.
2070.
Yeah. Just enough words where a computer could create sentences.
They already have that.
With his voice.
They already have that. They can make someone say things that they don't want to say.
Yeah. There we go. Canon.
Yeah.
Actual Malcolm McDowell.
Loreboy's canon. Yeah. Actual Malcolm McDowell died, and his legacy would be to become the Zax supercomputer that would lead the United States in 2277. Yeah. And this is President John Henry Eden.
Yeah.
He's at Raven Rock, which is just north of DC, from what I recall. And the fight between the remnants of the Enclave and the Brotherhood of Steel would eventually inspire them to complete and release Liberty Prime and complete Project Purity. So now you can comfortably drink out of, with the help of the Lone Wanderer, of course. Now you can comfortably drink out of the Potomac River without fear of having radiation poisoning or, you know, giant man-eating crabs, which is also a big problem
in
that
area.
That is absolutely huge. Mirelurks. Yeah, Mirelurks,
exactly. Why does it have to be
Mirelurks? The Enclave, however, on its last legs during the Broken Steel expansion, would be pushed back to Adams Air Force Base, where they actually managed to destroy Liberty Prime with an orbital artillery strike.
Yep.
However, with the help of the Lone Wanderer, the Brotherhood of Steel managed to turn the artillery against the Enclave and destroy them once and for all. Mm. The reason you have no idea who the Enclave is because they tried the West Coast, they tried the East Coast, Best Coast, Beast Coast. They couldn't do it.
Okay.
They couldn't pull it together. The only thing left of the Enclave is plasma weaponry and the X-01 power armor that you can get in Fallout 4.
Yeah, which I never really touched. I picked up power armor if it was in front of me, and then I would wear it until
it died. Until it was out of batteries.
Yeah.
The short time that I played, every time I found power armor, I would grab it, bring it to my base, and never touch it again.
Oh, yeah. I did that. Park it.
Yeah, exactly.
I did that too. Yeah. You can fast travel home with it and then just like leave it there.
Yeah. Yeah, it would drain the battery though. I thought that was a nice detail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometime later, sometime in the next year, here's where stuff gets like really, really spicy. And this is why I'm kind of sad that Fallout 76 isn't Fallout 5 because I can't talk about the canon anymore.
Okay.
Sometime in 2278. Now, Fallout 4 is in 2281, for the record.
Shit.
Yeah. Sort of. That's when you wake up.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
It is still a sequel to 3, despite the fact it starts on the day the world
you
ends.
You go back to sleep, though, right? It's 2277 when the bomb drops when you're running.
It is 2077
when the
bomb drops, and then you are defrosted in 2281.
It's this third... It's the third decimal point from, like, in the positives that I keep forgetting. I messed this up in the last episode and this one too. Like, honestly, that
it's the hundreds.
Yeah. The hundreds never makes a difference in my day-to-day life. So as soon as we get into this stuff, it's like, gets weird on me.
I'm sorry, are you not planning to live 100 years and you haven't figured this out?
You fool.
I was born in 91. If I make it to
2191,
then I'm doing okay. But don't expect it.
Sometime in 2278, a year after Fallout 3 ends, air quotes, put those in post, as usual, Elder Lyons, Owen Lyons, dies of old age, leaving his daughter, Sarah Lyons, in charge. However, this also left behind a bit of a power vacuum that would be exploited by Arthur Handsome Boy Maxson.
Okay.
So despite her critical leadership role, Sarah continued to fight on the front lines. This proved to be a costly mistake, as later in that same year, she was killed in battle, and Lyons Brotherhood of Steel would stumble to find an effective leader for several years until Arthur Maxson would become the new Elder, who is the guy from Fallout 3. Fallout 4, excuse me. There is a very, very good computer entry that you can hack out of Arthur Maxson's computer, which is the it's the transcribed conversation from the radio between Sarah Lyons and Arthur Maxson, where she is out on the front lines and her entire platoon has been killed.
Okay.
And she's just like, "Yo, I need help. Yo, I need help. Come and get me. Come and get me. Come and get me." Basically. And then the person on the other end of the radio is just like, "Oh no, looks like I accidentally gave her the walkie-talkie that didn't have batteries in it. She can't call for help anymore and had a very unfortunate accident and was killed in the line of duty."
Yeah.
She was indirectly assassinated
by
Arthur Maxson, which is why when we come back to Fallout 4, the Brotherhood is back to being the kind of borderline genocidal techno-fascists that we
when they kind of
have come
that.
Exactly. You had they had their brief kind of flirtation,
their brief redemption
with humanitarian ideals until someone was just like, "No, they
let's go back to genocide." Let's go back to genocide.
I can't remember what the fucking name of the movie is. They Willem Dafoe'd her though. They left her in the jungle to get shot in the back. It's Platoon. They platooned her. They platooned Sarah Lyons super hard. She's on the cover, just like, with her arms outstretched, looking at the sky, getting shot in the back by the Viet Cong.
Yeah, or
in this
case, Switch game, too.
The platoon. Yeah. And they had made a strategic retreat and left Sarah Lyons behind.
Left her to die.
Arthur Maxson would become the new Elder, as we know from Fallout 4. Under Arthur's leadership, the Brotherhood of Steel would repair and construct a huge airship at the Adams Air Force Base, where they defeated the Enclave, and returned to their original mission of recovering technology. This managed to bring back the Outcasts, where they were just like, "Hey, no, we're cool again, guys. Sorry. We had that new girlfriend, what is it? Empathy. We broke up with her.
Yeah.
We're leaving her behind.
We're back in the fold.
We're back in here, man. We're bros, right?" And the Outcasts were just like, "Yeah, okay. We cool, man. We cool." So they took their big-ass, badass airship and flew over to the ruins of the... to Boston. It's MIT, but it is the CIT in Fallout 4. It is the Commonwealth Institute of Technology.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they knew that that was one of the biggest central focal points of technology in the old world. And since that game has four faction endings, there is no current canon, and this is the end of our Brotherhood of Steel episode.
Cool.
Awesome.
So
cool. Yeah, give a lot of context to who they are. I didn't really know much about them. I don't take the time to read a lot of.
I mean, you're also five games behind.
No, it really, really, really makes me want to play Fallout now.
Like,
any of them, honestly.
Yep.
It's actually making me want to play Fallout 4, which is a big deal.
I started installing Fallout 3 before I came here, so I'm going to go home and play it after we're done recording.
Really making me want to play Fallout 3.
Oh, so bad. So bad.
Yeah.
I love that. I honestly kind of feel at first. Before I found that entry, I was just like, "Man, I can't believe they killed off like both the Lyons off screen." But since they have like such a good kind of like dark off screen death, I'm like, "Oh no, that's actually super cool. I like that a lot."
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And it is kind of cool because it's like, I like the symbolism of like in 4, your character is like gets frozen and like wakes up in like this different world, and it's almost like going from 3 to 4 in terms of the Brotherhood of Steel. That's kind of like what happens.
Yeah,
like you just wake up in a different world. You're like, "What the fuck? This isn't the Brotherhood of Steel that I remember from the end of Fallout 3.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which is, yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Time, man.
Anyway, if you want to learn more about Fallout, maybe you could watch E3, which is coming to an end when you're listening to this episode now. If you want to go back to at the Lore Boys on Twitter or Lore Boys Podcast on Facebook, which is also at the Lore Boys, I guess, we got a couple of spicy, some hot takes on everything that we may have found interesting that was announced and or developed or underdeveloped, for that matter. So check all that out on our social media. If you wanted to check Jamie out on social media, how doth one pursue
me? You can find me on James the Miller. I thought you were going to end that sentence, but it was left up for me. So yeah.
I think that's a proper Shakespearean sentence. How doth one pursue?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You can find me.
Shrugs on Shakespeare
on. Facebook, James the Miller, T-H-E Miller. That's my personal Facebook. Add me up and we'll play some games on PSN, JAYMILLK64. If you want to add me on Fortnite, I play a lot of that game, and you can find me at TLB_JMIL, JAYMIL, and TLB stands for the Lore Boys. If you find me there, we'll play some duos, some squads. We'll play some solos, and we just won't talk to each other. And,
yeah, it's going to be nice.
We'll just play Fortnite at the same time, completely apart from each other.
Yeah, exactly. And how about Ethan?
I'm at Ethan the Dead Man. That's it.
Good. Yeah, I mean, we're looking to branch out into some new shit. Get onto our Facebook page, like I said, The Lore Boys, and let us know what you want to see from us, whether it be news, whether it be reviews, opinions, meme compilations, which I'm not willing to put the effort into, but if you want to vote for that, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I am at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter. I do the artwork for loreboys.wordpress.com. Is it the Lore Boys?
No,
Lore Boys.
Loreboys.wordpress.com. That's our current site. Maybe we'll get our own domain soon.
Yeah, I think
we want it, like I said, we want to do some new shit. If you have any suggestions that you're just thinking of that we may not have thought of, tweet it to us. Put it out on our Facebook. Check out our E3 coverage.
Put it on a piece
retroactively. Put that on our Facebook. Put that on our fucking whatever. And then, of course, twitch.tv/theloreboys, where you can see Jamie and Ethan and maybe me once in a while.
If you're listening to this like near time recording, a great friend at work, Dylan, actually lent me God of War. So God of War stream's coming up soon.
Dad of Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dad of Boy coming up soon. Yeah. Finally.
And for anyone who wants to support us financially, like Jamie mentioned earlier in the episode, he's been marinating for a couple weeks now. We're putting him on the grill tonight. He should turn out really well. We're going to be taking a couple strips of him, putting him in envelopes for anyone who signs up for Lore Boys Premium.
For 15, there's only so much meat to go around.
Our monthly subscriptions. We'll get a pack of thin pieces of meat. We're calling them Slim Jims.
Yeah.
And that constitutes it.
Hey, Lore Boys,
out.
Follow.
God damn it, I missed it again.
Funnily enough, this is a little tidbit about a different game that we are not currently covering. A new tech startup called themselves XCOM. XCOM. And then the people who make XCOM were just like fucking razzing their balls on Twitter. It was so fucking funny.
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. He was like the guy, I can't remember his name, the lead designer on the current XCOM games. He's just like, yeah, okay, listen, guys, most of our development is done by capturing and chopping up our victims, so I don't know, man. I don't know how you're supposed to develop your technology, but you better bring a hacksaw.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Get on then. Not being like PUBG and being like, you have a frying pan in your game, we're gonna sue you.
Dude, yeah. That's what's going on right now is PUBG is suing Fortnite. If you're listening to the future,
in Korea only.
Yeah. No, they're suing them because it's a battle royale game and then they took over, but if you want to do that, like, oh, Wolfenstein, you should really sue Call of Duty because you kind of got first-person shooters first.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I have never lost more respect for someone I respected quicker that fast in recent memory, to be honest.
Yeah.
Brendan Green, if you're listening, I know you're not.
Might be.
Cool your jets, homie.
Yeah,
honestly.
Cool.
No, cool.
Yeah. It's sorry, awesome. Fortnite is recognizable.
Yeah.
My bad. Sorry, I can pick it out of a crowd.
Yeah.
Sorry, you made a daisy for him.
What?
I said, sorry, you made a DayZ clone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just ported DayZ to some fucking shitty fucking island. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
We're getting
we'll talk. Maybe we'll do a special episode, the lore of the Fortnite v PUBG lost.
Yeah.
I'd rather we just did it ourselves after this. We just print out pictures of Brendan Greene and take poops on it after the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. If you want. Perfect. Call it Poop G. I hate myself for saying that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.